There we go. We are coming in live. Good morning, everybody in Facebook world and on radio world. How's everyone doing? This is Brendan Byrne from, as we now decide to recall it, HoCo Live. I believe Chris and I agreed on that yesterday. It's a pretty cloudy morning today, but not too bad. Not too bad. A little cooler, so I'm hoping it stays like this all day. I'm about done with the excessive warm weather, like I'm sure everyone else is. So today with me, I have a fun special guest. I have Aaron Alder, who is the Assistant Director of Admissions. Aaron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on.
Of course. It's always great to have someone from admissions to come in and talk about the process and just kind of give us a general background on what that process is like for new and incoming students. So, why don't we just get started, you know? How are you doing today? You warm?
I'm doing good. I'm a little tired, but, you know.
Yeah. Did you get your coffee yet?
No, I didn't get a chance to yet, so I'll probably hit that right about the time we finish this up, so.
Yeah, me neither. I need that awake juice. So, Aaron, how long have you been an assistant director for admissions?
Sure. So, I've been in my current role for about 2 years now. Before that, I was an admissions and academic advisor on the same team for 3 years prior to that. And then before I joined HCC, I was an admissions counselor at Stevenson University. So I've been working in admissions pretty much since I was in my sophomore year of college. So I've been at this a long time. I've been in with HCC for 5 years total now.
Wow. So this is kind of old hat for you.
There's always new things going on. HCC is pretty innovative, so we are constantly looking for ways to make this process that I'll describe a little bit easier, be able to reach students a little bit better and give them an easy transition into the college.
Well, that's great. So you say you've basically always been kind of doing admissions work?
For most of my adult life, yeah. So I started out as a tour guide in the admissions office at the school I went to, which was Stevenson University. After that, they hired me right out of undergrad as an admissions counselor. So I traveled up and down the East Coast, you know, meeting with students, things like that. And then I transitioned into HCC in right about 2013. I've been working with the local high school students, you know, transitioning into HCC from there. And then I took over our outreach team about 2 years ago. And so now I oversee the entry programs for dual enrollment, for our freshman focus program, and a few other programs that we offer for students. So,
okay, so it's not just kind of like admissions counseling, but you do a lot of like outreach work with incoming students, like high schoolers?
Yeah, so our office is pretty unique. We're the admissions and advising office, so our role is really kind of full. You know, from the time a student's thinking about maybe coming to HCC, engaging with them, do we have the programs that they have that they're interested in? Are we going to be able to give them the courses they need to transfer? You know, kind of walking through that process, answering questions for them, their parents. And then through the admissions process, getting started with your first courses. And then we advise all the way through graduation in our office, too. So basically, if a student's interested in HCC all the way through walking across the stage at UMBC, we're getting them through.
That's great. So you said you've kind of got into this in the middle of like your college career, mm-hmm. right? So I mean, were you pretty set on doing some kind of school counseling or work from the beginning, or were you just kind of like trying to figure out what you were trying to do?
Well, to be honest with you, I was looking for a job while I was in college, and okay. I just kind of fell into it. I really liked it. My background was in psychology. I love working with students, talking with them, helping figure out what their problems are, how we can find solutions, and this role kind of plays to that. So I kind of just let one thing lead to another, and then that's where I'm at with it. So it's pretty cool. I had a really tough time transitioning from high school to college. I applied a few different schools, didn't get into everywhere. I kind of picked randomly where I was going to go to college at, and I lucked out. I had a really great experience at the school I went to, but I recognized that it does require a little bit more planning and kind of guidance. Otherwise, you're kind of relying on that luck, and not everybody gets that. So,
yeah. So you want to kind of provide that opportunity for other students that maybe you didn't quite have.
Yeah, I think everybody should see the different options that are out there and explore the possibilities, so that way they can make the right decision about where they're going to go to college, what they're going to study, and how that's going to get them to where they want to go.
Yeah, I mean, back when I was younger, I felt like I had no comprehension of like how involved the college admission process was. I mean, there's so much you got to do, and there's so much that you don't even think of looking for at your college. Some people really do just pick randomly like that. They don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite there, but I kind of had a general idea of what I wanted to do, and the school I went to basically specialized in the major I wanted to pursue at the time. Spoiler alert, not being ended up what I ended up doing.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, we all kind of, sometimes we change our major through.
That's one of the cool things, and one of the reasons I like working with HCC, though, is we do have such a variety of programs and opportunities here for students. Generally, when I'm talking with students, getting to know them, it tends to be pretty easy to figure out, you know, okay, are we going to be able to offer what you're looking for? And if you're unsure, which is a big number of students, we have enough variety and enough, you know, different programs that we can probably accommodate what they're looking for. There's also a lot of services that we offer to help students figure that out. So not just in the admissions and advising office in terms of planning out your degree, but our counseling and career services office does a lot to help students figure out what are the things that are interesting to them, what are their skills and talents, and how can they utilize that and turn it into a career. From there, we work backwards from it in the, you know, from the advising office, say, okay, well, now you've got a career goal. What are the courses and the degree or the credentials that you're going to need to get there?
So. That's cool. So would you say that admission process, like the level of involvement, would you say HCC goes beyond the norm with that?
So I would say that we try to work a lot more individualized with our students. So HCC in general is open enrollment. So that means that if a student's looking to start their college career, they're going to have a chance to come here and do that with us. Now, there are some different steps, different populations of students may need to take. Dual enrolled students have to go through a few extra kind of admissions steps in order to get started. But generally speaking, the getting admitted to HCC is generally pretty quick. It's figuring out where a student is in their education, defining what their goals might be, and then showing them that path to get to what they want to accomplish, that I think our office spends a great deal of time on. And so when you're applying to HCC, it might only take 15 minutes. You can do it right online. You'll be admitted to the college unless, like I said, you fall into one of those other special categories pretty much within, 25 minutes of you filling out that application. But from there, that's where we spend a lot of time helping students. Okay, well, you're interested in starting college. Do you need to do placement testing? Do you have any other measures that are going to help us determine if you're ready for college level English, college level math? That's a conversation that we have to have with each student. And then from there, okay, you're looking to start this fall. What courses, what are the life considerations we need to take into place? Like, is a student working? Are they looking to go part-time, full-time? Do they need to fill out financial aid? All of those things are big considerations when starting college.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's coming in here at a different point in their life. I mean, despite age gaps or career backgrounds or just familial backgrounds, people are going to come in with a different experience and they're going to come in a different position. And it's great that you can kind of tailor their experience, and help them get them what they need to kind of start their college career and get it on track.
Yeah, because a one size fits all starting point is really, not going to be that helpful. I've worked with a lot of students over the years. I've seen a great deal of diversity. One of the things about community college versus like a 4-year school. Or college or university is that, the community colleges kind of embody the communities they're a part of. So we don't look the same as another community college on the other side of the state. But Howard County is incredibly diverse. There's people from all different walks of life here living together, working towards their unique goals. And HCC really has to meet those needs of those different and varied students. So I think that's probably one of the things that we do best.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very diverse diverse area here in Howard County. That's one of the best parts of it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when you can have a class that has, a student who's in 10th grade in high school taking their first college class. You have someone who's maybe an adult looking to do our, nursing program and up their career skills, kind of that life-changing career goal that they're looking for. And then anything in between all that, all sitting together working, to be successful in class, discussing their ideas together. It's pretty cool to be part of something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great experience about college is you get to meet people, not just from different personal or racial backgrounds, but from different age groups as well. Like I've taken classes with people in their late 30s or mid 50s.
Yeah.
In addition to just people my own age, you know, it's people from all walks of life just come in at any time.
Yeah, and like I said, that's really kind of the thing that we try to, you know, emphasize, and that is it's getting to know what the student's looking for. We have a lot of really great technology that helps us, you know, I think serve students really well. One of the things that we try to do with every new student that comes in is after they're done the admissions process, everyone does need to figure out if they're ready for college level English or math. We have placement testing for that. We have other measures we can look at, like SAT scores or maybe high school transcripts. But when you sit down with an advisor for the first time, we like to look at, okay, you're looking to get a degree, you're looking to transfer, here's some options for you. But everybody leaves with a plan for their first year. And that could be a part-time plan, maybe, you know, two classes in the fall, two classes in the spring. It could be a full, you know, a full load for both terms. But they can see how that plays directly into their degree. One of the things that we have on the HCC portal is a self-service program. And what that does is it lets students see in real time that plan that they build with their advisor. They can see their schedule of classes that they've picked out and registered for or planned to. And then they can see their progress towards their degree. So they can see the English class, the math class, maybe a couple other classes I'm taking, where they fit into that degree and what is left. And we, you know, want students to be aware of that. We kind of walk them through it when they come into advising. But it's also something they walk away with that they can have at home or, you know, wherever they're looking at. So it's pretty cool. You can also access a lot of other things through there, like you can, you know, pay your bills, set up a payment plan. You can view your financial aid status. It's a pretty robust, you know, suite of technology that we use to kind of capture those conversations and leave the student with something to take home. So.
That's great that it's there's so many amenities. So I know since we started talking about the amenities of like the enrollment programs and process here, why don't we actually start discussing the actual enrollment process at HCC? I know you said earlier the whole process can take like about 15 to 20 minutes.
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, the big thing is that, you know, to be admitted to HCC is relatively easy, but figuring out the rest of the part to get from I'm interested in college to starting your first class tends to be a little bit longer.
Right.
One of my goals, and I think that this is something our office, you know, really tries to emphasize, is that, you know, the hard part of going to college should be the calculus class you take. It shouldn't be figuring out how to get into HCC. So we try to keep that part pretty simple.
Absolutely.
Our application is available online. We do have paper applications available, but pretty much, like I said, you can go right on the website, howardcc.edu/apply, fill out an application to the college. It takes like 15 minutes. From there, you'll be admitted to the college. You'll get a welcome email. In a couple hours, you'll have your HCC user account assigned to you. From there, you can set up your password and have access to the self-service stuff that I was talking about. From there, though, that's when the student really needs to, you know, take the next step after that, because you can do that from home. But generally, you know, we try to have a conversation with students. Now, we do have our office advising hours where students can come in and meet with someone. We also have a virtual advisor that works with students who maybe can't get here or have, you know, a crazy work schedule. We try to offer a variety of times. So for instance, before the start of this coming term, we're open the two Saturdays, the first Saturday of this fall semester and the Saturday before that, so we can have students come in, meet with us, get their classes registered if they're, you know, working during the week. We also have evening hours as well, so 3 days a week we're open until 7, so students can come in and meet with an advisor after work. Like I said, we try to offer a variety of different things. The process after admissions, though, really looks at establishing where you're at in terms of placement. So students can come meet with an advisor if they have those SAT scores or GPA that would maybe place them into college level. If they don't have those measures, though, we have the placement test available. And so our test center in the RCF building is usually a pretty common starting place for most students. They'll take the English and math placement test. Now, every student, when they're taking the placement test, has two attempts on it. So they can take the test the first time, meet with an advisor, see how they did. The cool thing about the placement test, and I run into this question a lot, is it's not a pass-fail test. You know, people, when they think college admissions, they're always kind of anxious about like that denial that they might get. HCC doesn't have that as a policy. So, I mean, we're open enrollment, so you're going to get the chance to come here. What the placement test does is it places you into a path that maybe improves your algebra skills before you take a pre-calculus class, maybe improves your reading skills before you're ready for college level English, or maybe you go right into the college level course. But the idea is we kind of figure out where a student is, what skills and knowledge do they already have coming to the table, and then we offer a course progression to get them to where they want to go. So if you come in and you're not where you want to be, you think, okay, I didn't study that great for this math placement test, they have that second attempt. Our placement test right now for mathematics is a test called Alex. It's really cool because after your first attempt, it builds a personalized, like, basically study plan for you.
That's
helpful. So you have access to it at home. You can go through it. There's a practice test you can do to see if you're, you know, improving. And we've seen students go between their first and second test. If they're in there studying, we've seen them move up one or two levels in the math progression by utilizing that. So that's a new thing for us this year. We're just rolling it out to students for this fall. And it seems like it's going pretty well. It's a very robust resource. And it, like I said, it's personalized or customized to each student that takes the test. So after testing's done and we know that starting point, from there, it's really just figuring out, okay, you know, your degree, you know, what is your degree? Where do you want to transfer to? From there, selecting classes that are going to be a good fit for you and building that first year plan I talked about. We're also available for students for a variety of other questions and advising. So, you know, if they're looking to transfer, we can, you know, maybe look at our articulation agreements and, you know, if the class that he here is going to transfer to Towson or UMBC. We host a transfer fair every fall, every spring, where we have different schools from around the, you know, around the country come and visit. So yeah, I mean that tends to be the process. You know, we try to, like I said, get the students admitted, figure out where they are, and then give them that plan. So
that's great. That's a lot of resources that these students have access to. I mean, I went to UMBC, and that process you described with the admissions tests, like the math one with the Alex one, that wasn't a resource available to us or to myself. But that was a few years ago. That was back in like 2011. So, you know, it's been a few years since
then. We've come a long way. Like I said, I've been doing this for a little bit over 5 years. And, you know, at first we had paper study guides that we handed out to students in between. But like I said, that's one of the nice things is, you know, students are looking for something that's specific to them. So like, a paper sheet that we mass print, you know, it's pretty much is what it is. This can really, you know, have students spend the time studying what they need to, and being okay with what they're already, you know, good with, cut down on the time they maybe need to study or the range of topics they have to cover. So that way they can focus in on what they need to.
Yeah. Instead of just kind of giving them a general, here's what's going to be on there. Good luck.
Yep.
You know, kind of specializing in what they might need to work on or where they're, what their weaker areas might be that they need to strengthen up on a little bit to have a better chance doing well on that test.
Yeah. One of the things also is we do, this is not just like a one-time process for us. So like, you know, once you're admitted, you don't have to reapply again, but the advising component is there, you know, throughout a student's time here. So it's not just your first semester when you have a plan. If you have that year plan after you meet with an advisor and, you come back and you say, oh, I've changed my major, or I want to go and do a different program. From there, you can meet with the advisor and we kind of revamp that or make it flexible or match with what you're looking for. So it tends to be pretty cool. One of the big initiatives at the college this year is we're actually in the process of implementing like academic pathways. And so these are designed to give students kind of a general, you know, kind of common first semester within an academic area. So, you know, for instance, say you're interested in, you know, science, technology, engineering, math. You know, what we've looked at is what are the commonalities among all the different programs within that umbrella and try to find commonalities. So that way students, if they change their mind one day, I'm interested in, you know, being a chemist, but the next day I'm interested in being a mathematician, maybe I can move between them a little more fluidly. And then that pairs right into, like I was talking about with like career services, you know, a lot of students generally know the area they want to work in, but they might not know the exact career or major that is going to help them get there. And so this gives them an idea, okay, like I know that I like social sciences, but I don't know within there exactly what I'm going to do for a career. Well, this lets them get started in that pathway. And then there's supports that come into place, like through counseling, career services, through the different academics that are supporting the pathway, and the faculty members that are part of it. to get, you know, to give them time to figure out what they want to do.
So, yeah, you mentioned academic advising there. So typically, how many times do you try to meet with a student per semester?
I would say that it's just important for a student to come in at least once every semester. So before they register for the classes, like I mentioned, with self-service, students have the ability to kind of select courses, look at their plans. It's always good to come in and, you know, even if you've done all the work, I've picked out my classes, it's always good to come in and get some validation from an advisor, because there are some nuances in transfer. You know, the course that works really well for Towson might not work really well for UMBC, and we try to impart that onto our students. And so it's good to come in and kind of verify that the work you're doing is good. Obviously, students can come back more than that if they have other questions, but generally speaking, at least once a semester through graduation is always a good plan.
So with advisors, do you try to, I know there's only so many advisor roles available at a time, but do you try to stay with the same student consistently just to kind of give them that?
We don't actually have like caseloads or anything like that. Now, there are some certain populations of students that work with certain advisors. And we do have advisors that specialize in certain things. Like I mentioned, for like STEM, we have one advisor that is, you know, focused on that area and the transfer of that area. But
sort of by department?
Yeah, I mean, but most of us are generalists. So like we're responsible for knowing the big range of knowledge across different things. So even if I'm not the STEM advisor, I can advise a STEM student.
Yeah.
It just means that if something gets really complicated or something like that, we might have to consult with someone else. But we're a really great team. And so we don't have a caseload for students. They can ask for an advisor. So if a student comes into our office and I'm available, they can say, I want to meet with Aaron or whoever they've worked with in the past. But generally speaking, we don't have someone stick with someone all the way through.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So kind of it's set up in such a way that it can really be helpful for anyone. It's not sort of by department, like maybe some bigger schools would typically
I mean, there's a lot of different advising models out there, but you know, some schools have faculty really involved with advising. We have some great support from our faculty. Even some of the faculty come over and advise with us during certain times of the year when it's really busy. But yeah, no, we have a pretty solid core of, you know, professional advisors that are responsible for a variety of different areas. We all have to know transfer. We all have to know, you know, the different degrees that HCC offers and the ability to, you know, do that. We do have specializations within our area though. So like, for instance, like our allied health programs, students have to go through a separate admissions process after they've done their prerequisite courses in order to start those allied health programs. And so we have a whole team of folks dedicated to helping students who are currently at HCC or transferring to HCC with existing credit that are going to start like the nursing program or the dental hygiene program. And they'll work with them pretty specifically to go from, you know, I'm interested in it to starting the clinical portion of it. And so that's a little bit different than the first admissions that I talked about, because, you know, a student has to be, you know, can go through and apply to HCC, be working towards dental hygiene, but they don't start the program until they finish their prerequisites and go through the dental hygiene admissions process.
Yeah.
So that team works with those students. We have a decent number of students here who are studying on their F1 visa. So there are students here from other countries. We have a special team of advisors that work with them because there are certain rules and regulations around students in that area. So it could, you know, a student that goes from part-time to from full-time to part-time, if they're an F1 student, that can have some big impacts on them. So they meet with those advisors to be specialized in it. But outside of that, like I said, we're all really helpful. We try to, you know, answer the questions that we can. And if we need to refer someone out or consult with someone else, we can do that too.
So are there any other fields of or majors, I guess, in this in the college like that that require that kind of specialized attention?
I would say that, you know, I would probably say not at that level. You know, generally speaking, those are like that because they have a separate admissions process. There's a limited number of seats for those. Mm-hmm. Most of our other majors aren't limited like that. So like, you know, if we have, you know, 50 students interested in dental hygiene, they may only have 16 seats in clinicals. And so students need to be aware of that. They need to have backup plans. The advisors work with them to make sure that they have an idea of what it's going to be like entering the program. But, you know, if a student wants to study cybersecurity here, or if they want to study, you know, social sciences, or they want to study, you know, life sciences, and you know, or like chemistry, biology, those don't have those types of limits on them. So we can all work with them from different like more general backgrounds, I guess.
Oh, cool. That's good to know. So speaking of enrollment, when is the period of enrollment for this coming semester?
Sure. So that's one of the things that I'm glad you brought up, because you know, we have been enrolling students, or students have been able to register for their classes for this fall, which starts in just a couple weeks in the last week in August. We've been enrolling students in that since April. Students have had the opportunity to pick courses and register for them all the way through the summer. We see a lot of students in August. So a lot of students wait until summer's over. They come in, they meet with an advisor. The big thing I like to push is that the earlier you come in, the better you're going to be able to pick the courses that fit your schedule and fit your preferences. We try to offer consistent level of service. So like, you know, if you're going to come in August, we're going to give you that same attention that we would give you in May, but you might have to wait longer because there's 70 students coming in to see us as opposed to, you know, five or six, you know, at a week in April. So, earlier is always better. I tend to see that new students tend to be a little bit earlier, and then students who have been here a little bit longer tend to wait a little bit more. But there's a ton of reasons why students, you know, when they choose to get registered for the fall. But yeah, I mean, most students, they think, okay, like I'm going to come in a couple weeks before class and get started. So we try to meet with them. So
that's great. Yeah. You want to try to get in there as early as possible, but you know, in August, you still have time. When is the enrollment period for the semester end?
So students can register for courses up through the first week of the classes. So, you know, if a class is already meeting, obviously you want to think about, hey, is it a good idea for me to register and start this class if I miss the first class meeting? But we do allow students to register for the first week of the normal starting classes. So we do have a variety of different start periods. So most of our classes are 15 weeks long, and they start at the end of August. We do have some shorter, or what we call late start classes, that start a few, sometimes 3 or 4 weeks after that. Mm-hmm. And so students can add those all the way up until those classes start. However, the major semester, you know, you can make changes to your schedule even the day classes are starting. The big thing, like I mentioned before, is it all is about, you know, space availability. You can't add a class the first week of class if it's full.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important to be early on it.
Yeah, so anyone out there getting ready to register, try to do that as soon as possible. You have till the first week. Do you have any advice for anyone who's a little intimidated by the admissions process and doesn't really know where to start?
I would say, you know, if you're uncomfortable doing it going through it yourself, you know, you can come in and fill the application out right in our office. And like I said, when you're admitted at that point, you get your ID number, and you can meet with an advisor right after that. So if that's the intimidating point is that like you don't want to do it at home or take that step, come in and see us. If it's something where, you know, you maybe can't get there to get some of this stuff done and that's why you keep putting off getting it done, email admissions@howardcc.edu, or you can maybe reach out to us to talk to through phone. We actually can set you up to meet with one of our virtual advisors. So like I mentioned, you don't have to be on campus for us to actually help you get started.
Awesome. And if they're on campus here, where can they find the admissions office?
Sure. So like most of the student services, we're in the RCF Student Services building. We're on the second floor, room 242. Our hours, typically we open the doors sometime around 8:30, 8:45, and we'll start advising from 9. And right now we're advising from 9 till 6:30. We'll extend our hours a little bit longer next week, starting next week till 7. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday, we're open 9 to 3 for advising.
All right, awesome. That's pretty much the entire admissions process. Aaron, thank you so much for coming in and talking to me about this day. It's very important that students know how this process works. So we're going to wrap up for today. We'll see you guys again next week. Have a good one, and stay cool, please.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.